statistically, one sack, some holding penalties, some pressures. But from your vantage point, what was kind of the overall perspective of that on both sides of the ball?
Kind of a mixed bag. I think there was some really, really good plays. We celebrated those in the champions meetings, guys finishing guys, you know, 7, 8, 10 yards down the field. Some really good stuff. There's a couple movement plays where we got our hands outside, got us behind the chains. It was kind of the first time we saw some movement in the Penn State game, but there was some movement there. And so, we just got to do a better job of handling it. On defense, I thought, we moved the ball pretty, or moved the line of scrimmage pretty good up front. And it was really good, but there was also a bunch of things that we would teach off of that we could get better from.
And Urban used to preach balance offensively, passing and rushing. Right now you guys are clearly a bit more heavy on the passing game, but with the talent you have there, is that acceptable, or do you need to get that running game going a bit more to be that more balanced attack that teams want to be?
I don't know. I mean, to run for more than 200 yards, I don't know how much more we need to rush than that. And 200 yards rushing is a pretty good day, you know.
All right, we'll go next to Stephen Means from Cleveland.com. Stephen.
Hey, Ryan, can you just talk about the development you've seen out of Jeremy Ruckert and some of the versatility he gives you in some of the ways you were using him on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, Ruck's done a good job in the run game. First off, he's finishing guys. He's getting a bunch of knockdowns. I thought his perimeter blocking in the Penn State game was really good, so he's done that. And then he's made some plays in a red zone for us, and so has Luke. You know, it's the two of them. And so 12 personnel has given us some things that we feel like we can attack teams with, and it's their versatility that really helps us. You know, the ability to do a good job in the run game, but then also make plays in the pass game. So it's been a weapon for us, and hopefully we continue to build on it.
Thanks.
All right, we'll go next to Dan Hope from 11 Warriors. Dan.
Hey, Ryan, are you concerned at all that, you know, you're now 3 games into the season and a lot of your backups still really haven't gotten much opportunity to play?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was worried about it without a spring. I was worried about it without a normal preseason. And I was worried about it without a normal non-conference lead up into the conference season. So, yeah, I mean, it's something that there's a lot of reps that just haven't been had by our younger players. And I think you saw a little bit of that on Saturday night. So we're just going to have to keep building with it and grow and teach now that there's some stuff on film.
You had mentioned that you wanted to get those guys in if the third quarter started better. Kind of in your mind, what needs to happen in the game? How far ahead do you guys need to be on the scoreboard for you to feel comfortable taking guys like Justin Fields out?
Yeah, that's a good question. We thought about doing it at halftime, up 35-3, and just decided that you just never know what's going to happen. And so we just decided that we're hoping to get one more score there just to start off the second half. Didn't happen. And then it just kind of, we just kind of were flat there for a little while. So we never quite got to where we wanted to be. They got the special team score, and then never happened the way we wanted it to. So a little disappointed there, but definitely something to work on and teaching moments there for our guys.
All right, we'll go next to Austin Ward from Letterman Row. Austin.
Ryan, it seemed like Trey was maybe hitting his stride there in that drive in the fourth quarter. What have you thought for the most part about the way he's played and acclimated into the offense? It's probably not easy given some of the time he missed and coming in as a transfer.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I think that he's getting better with each opportunity. But like you said, it's been a while since he's played, and he didn't have the spring in the preseason. So he's similar to some of the other guys. But I think he's gotten better as he's had the opportunity. So hopefully he can continue to make the next step as we get into the next few games.
I know that the availability report is Friday, but do you think he would have been able to go back in the game on Saturday night or practice this week? I know that you will wait and see, but I'm just trying to get a feel for how serious that might have been.
Yeah, I mean, we plan on having him for practice this week, but we'll just see how it goes as the week goes on.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yep.
All right, we'll go next to Bill Landis from The Athletic. Bill.
Hey, Ryan. Some of the throws that Justin's made, especially this year, but going back to last year too, where he's either changing his arm angle or he's throwing off platform while moving. I'm just wondering how his background as a baseball middle infielder might help him do some of that stuff. Like, do you think that helps him when he's doing those kind of throws?
I don't know. I don't know what it goes back to. I know that he played multiple sports. That always helps when you're a quarterback. I think it helps with your spatial awareness and intelligence. I think there's something really to be said for that. And I think the only way to do that is to play multiple sports. You can see things develop. You can anticipate body movement, body language. And I think that's really important. I think that has a lot to do with, like you said, his anticipation, the way that he can see things happening downfield. But the thing I was the most impressed with in that game was his poise and posture in the pocket. Those two plays where there were actually free rushers, coming, and he made the guy miss. And usually he kind of get right into scramble mode, but he just kind of slid real calm in the pocket, something that we talked about a lot and worked on, kept his poise and then delivered the ball a couple times. So I thought that was really good. And it's just something that, he's obviously gifted, but he's improving each week. And I think you're seeing that on Saturdays.
And I know he's not the first quarterback to be a former baseball player, and I think there's some mixed feelings on quarterbacks coaches on that. How do you think that might help just generally? I saw Bruce Arians once said he'd like to coach that out of guys because he's worried about them blowing out their elbow because the mechanics are so different. But do you think it can help if you have a baseball skill set throwing the football?
I mean, anytime you're doing any type of rotational sport, I think it helps with sequencing and timing, whatever it might be. Drew Brees is a really good tennis player. Tony Romo and some of these guys are really good golfers. They understand sequencing. And, whether it's throwing a baseball or throwing a football or swinging a golf club or swinging a baseball bat, the timing and sequencing is really, how you throw the football really well. And he's done that. He's played some rotational sports, and I think that really helps with him understanding how it works, because it's not just having a strong arm. It has nothing to do with anything. What it is the timing in which you are able to snap your hips and, deliver the ball. And that's something that I think makes sense to him naturally.
Thanks.
Yep.
All right, next up, Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch. Bill.
Well, Bill's on here.
Yes? No?
Nope.
Okay. All right, we'll go to Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch. Joey.
Ryan, how as far as the kicking game goes, how close was Blake to being available last weekend? And what did you just make of Jake's debut as far as he didn't get to kick a field goal and all, but as far as kind of the extra points and how he was able to step in there?
Yeah, Blake's, just still taking it day by day. So we'll see how it goes this week. But I thought Jake was good. I thought the ball came up, which was good to see. Anytime a kicker gets a lot of height on the ball, that really helps. And he's very accurate. Timing was good. So like you said, he really wasn't challenged. They were just extra points, but it was a good start. I mean, I thought he looked confident out there. This is a guy who, didn't just kick coming out of high school. He played, he played other positions. So he's a good athlete, and it was a good start for him.
And we saw him kick a little bit in warm-ups, but how far do you think his range would be if he had a kick in a game, or do you have a sense of kind of what his leg looks like?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, we'll see when he gets into a game. Practice a little different than a game. See how accurate he is. It's one thing to make one of them, but you got to be able to make them consistently in order to take a shot at it. So, we'll see. We've done a little bit in practice here, and if we get into a game, we'll kind of figure out where his range is.
All right, we'll go next to Dave Biddle from 24/7 Sports. Dave.
Thanks, Mike. Hi, Ryan. Garrett Wilson looks like he has the chance to be one of the best wide receivers ever come through Ohio State, and that's saying a lot. I realize that. What stands out the most about him, and what do you think his ceiling is, Coach?
His first thing that stands out is his talent. He's tremendously skilled. His ball skills are excellent. His change of direction and ability to accelerate in a short area is just tremendous. And then the other part is just his timing downfield, going to get balls. His ceiling is as high as it wants to be. He's improved. And I think the better he practices, the harder he plays, the better he's going to be. He has tremendous talent, and he can be as good as he wants to be.
And is Nick Petit-Ferrer, I know he's the Offensive Player of the Week this week, and it seems like he's been playing well, through the first three games. Is he the most improved player on your team from last year until now?
He'd be in the conversation. His body, the way he's really worked to get better, his technique, and the way he's performed the last couple of games.
Thank you.
Yep. Next up, Tim May from Letterman Row. Tim.
Yeah, I didn't want to pull a Bill there and not hit unmute. Hey, Ryan, I'm just wondering, when you prepare for a game, you and your staff, how many plays do you actually have at your beck and call, so to speak? Because this offense seems to, you take this away, you've got an answer, the next play or whatever. But just how much can you just physically get ready from a play-wise standpoint for a game from week to week?
Yeah, Yeah, great question. We could talk about it for a long time. But the way that we do this, certainly it's different when you have a quarterback who's been here for 2 years. He now has a, you know, Rolodex and catalog of plays that he has. So the way that, you know, we really do it is we have our core concepts that we just rep that really we feel pretty confident calling at any time, even if we haven't practiced it much that week, if we need it based on what we're seeing. And then we have game plan things that we have specific for that opponent. And then, like you said, based on what we're seeing, we try to adjust from there. And, you know, I would say it's rare that we're going to get exactly what we expect.
Yeah.
You're going to get something different, you know, and so you have to be able to adjust is, you know, the point. Yep.
Yeah, and you got adjusted out of the pocket quite a bit last week because it was clear what was going on in the middle of the field sometimes. Was that the plan or all the way along, or was that just something you adjusted to as the game went on?
I mean, it's part of our game plan. We have different things that we, you know, different buckets that we like to hit, and movement and getting them out of the pocket is one of those categories. And, you know, we it's good for us. To change the launch point is always good. We do a decent amount of dropping back. So anytime you can move that launch point, it just helps with the rush. It helps with the line a little bit. It extends routes. And then Justin out in space is always a good thing. So it's definitely part of our attack.
Thanks, man.
Yep.
All righty. We'll go next to Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com. Doug.
Ryan, I think we were talking after the game with what you guys gave up a little bit in the second half defensively, like, you know, what was maybe first team guys, what was second team guys, maybe some discussion of missed tackles in the secondary. I don't mean to call a kid out, but from, it did seem like maybe Marcus Hooker had a couple plays where he had a chance to come up from safety and maybe shut something down, maybe on the fake wild snap run and some things. Does he have a chance to maybe make some better plays there for you guys? Or what do you need? We know what Jordan Fuller did last year. What do you need from that single safety back there?
Well, I mean, when it does break through, like you're saying, that, you know, it was a direct snap where the quarterback kind of jumped up and the defensive end's eyes kind of went there. And so he snuck through. And that's the free safety has to be the ultimate eraser there. And, you know, he did some good things. He's done some good things. But yeah, I mean, that's a guy that if we don't make that tackle, it's going. And that's what happened in that situation.
And then generally in the secondary with Cam's injury and just maybe trying to figure out who else could maybe help at corner a little bit, it seemed like Ryan Watts, when he got in late, I don't know, maybe flash a little bit. Is there a chance for any of these? You're a cornerback depth. You get down to some super young guys. Do they have a chance maybe where they can help you out at all back there?
I think they're going to have to. And I think we understand why it's hard, you know, for those guys to put them in the game right now when they just haven't had the body of work leading up to this point of the season that you would like. But you're going to have to grin and bear it. You know, the only way to learn is to make mistakes. And it's going to be hard, but we're going to have to live with it. And it was good to see Ryan out there. It's going to be, you know, good to get some more of those guys out there, get Legend kind of back in the mix. Because first off, you have to get those guys ready anyways. You don't know what's going on right now in America. I mean, at any point, those guys might be playing. So we're going to have to put them out there, and there's going to be good plays. There's going to be bad plays, but the only way for them to get better is to learn. Now we got to practice better, and that's something that we're really focusing on this week. But really, you know, playing is going to be important too.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. We'll go next to Ari Wasserman from The Athletic. Ari.
Hey, Ryan, in a world where quarterback transfers are happening regularly and patience is kind of a hard thing to come by these days at that position, do you ever worry about the downsides of recruiting or signing two top 50, two five-star quarterbacks in consecutive classes?
Well, no, not really. I mean, you know, like we always say, I mean, you come to Ohio State, you come here to compete. And if you don't want to compete, this probably isn't the right place for you. And so, you know, if a quarterback's coming here, they're coming here to be in the Heisman Trophy, you know, conversation to win a national championship and be a first round draft pick. So, you know, if they can't beat out the guy who's here, how are they going to go become a Heisman Trophy winner and a first round draft pick? And it's all about competing. And I get it. You know, guys want to play, and maybe Ohio State's not for everybody, but you know, the guys who come here, they want to be great. They want to compete. They love Ohio State. They understand what they're getting themselves into, and they come here to compete, and they're going to do that. And it isn't always, you know, going to always be one quarterback playing either. You know, you just never know how it's going to shake out. You know, a few years ago, it took three guys to win the national championship. So the other part of it is you get a chance to develop here. And, you know, what I think is the best passing offense in the country. And you're learning about drop back passing. You're learning about progressions. You're learning about, protections and all those type of things. And I think that's one of the big reasons why these guys love being here as quarterback.
Is it ever something that you think about or talk about with you and Corey and the recruiting staff about just ever trying for the sake of continuity to intentionally sign a backup quarterback? And if you do sign the five-star, which you guys have done pretty regularly, are they aware of that in the next class that could happen again?
Yeah, not really. You know, I think totally have thought about it, totally have talked about it. But if someone's coming here to be the backup, they're probably not going to make it anyways because of what we just talked about. You know what I'm saying? Like if they're coming here, they're coming here to play and we want guys who want to play. And so I know what you're saying. It makes sense. It's just, it's not realistic, not that I can find. But it's always a concern because only one quarterback plays.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yep.
All righty. We'll go back to Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch. Bill.
Ryan, sorry about that. It went through for hockey. It must be football allergic or something. I don't know. I don't know that many people would have thought this going into the year, but it looks like toughest stretch of the year might be these next 2 weeks with Maryland and Indiana. What are your thoughts on that? Would you take from Maryland's win over Penn State, which is pretty dominating?
A lot of confidence, playing really well. They did a great job on the perimeter. They got some really good young DBs. They got them off schedule. They got them kind of out of rhythm. You know, I watched the film Penn State on our clips. I don't know how many, you know, plays they had, but it was 102 on ours, which was like, whoa, 102 plays. And so they competed. They played well. He's got some, you know, different guys in there, some transfers. He's upgraded the talent there. So that was really good. And then, you know, Tua's playing with Taulia is playing with a lot of confidence. And, you know, he's got some really good receivers there. And so, you know, they're in, you know, Coach Loxley's doing a good job putting them in the right position. So, yeah, I mean, they're dangerous right now. They just really, really played well against Penn State. So we're going to have to do a great job of coming in there with confidence and playing well early, taking care of the football. And, you know, the recipe hasn't changed. But yeah, these guys are definitely better than they've been.
And just after watching the video again, are you guys where you want to be after game three? It's obviously a strange year, but are you kind of not, you're never satisfied as a coach, but are you content with the progress and where you are generally?
Well, when you say, are we where we want to be, where we are in terms of being 3-0. And if you were to say, you know, where are you going to be at this, you know, 2 months ago, if you were to say we're going to be 3-0, I'm going to take it, obviously, you know what I mean? With everything that's gone on, you know, there's just so much that goes on. And there's a lot of things that are distractions right now and different. So that part, you know, we need to, you know, make sure that we recognize that. And we did, you know, we recognized the champions. But no, to say that, you know, where we need to be as a team in terms of, you know, playing at a high level and all that. No, we're not where we need to be. And that's going to be, and I don't know if it's going to happen this week. I don't know if it's going to happen in 2 weeks. I don't know. But we have to continue to work at that. And that's only going to happen if we practice better.
Are there certain specific areas that you're disappointed with?
Not really disappointed. It's just, we're just not there yet. And it's a work in progress. I'm really not disappointed in anything, to be honest with you. I'm just, you know, we want perfection here. We want to be the best in the country, what we do, and we're just not there yet. But no, I wouldn't say I'm disappointed. There's certain things we want to correct, though.
All right. Thanks, Ryan.
Yep. All right, we'll go next to Nathan Barrett from Cleveland.com. Nathan.
Ryan, you mentioned, you know, Maryland playing better than it's played before, and you know, obviously Indiana, the season they're having, and quarterback play is kind of tied into that. What are you seeing just, I guess, throughout the conference right now, or specifically from these guys that are ahead of you, as far as how quarterback play is sort of helping some of these teams push themselves into a different level of competitiveness?
Yeah, I think that maybe the way that the offseason played out without having pads on, maybe there's just more 7-on-7, more passing, harder to get good in the run game when you're not in pads and being physical. So maybe that played into it a little bit. But, yeah, I think the passing has gotten better in the league. You can just see. Certainly Maryland's doing a good job. I think some of the receivers for these guys have you know, really been upgraded. So, yeah, overall, I think that the pass game is – you know, there's some teams who really know how to throw the ball right now in our conference.
Do you think that sort of improvement was necessary for the Big Ten to, you know, get that next level of respect or get that kind of, I guess, throughout the league competitiveness that might, you know, lift the whole league in terms of just esteem from college football?
I don't know. I mean, I think that there's always been really good teams and really good offenses in the league. And, you know, I think that over the years when we've gone against other conferences, we've done a great job. It's just different. And, you know, this year is different. And you know, I think the passing game has really improved across the conference. And that's a good thing, though. And, you know, I don't know what it means in terms of nationally or anything like that, but I just know that, you know, we've been upgraded at quarterback and receiver throughout the conference. And that is a good thing, though.
We got time for a couple more. We'll go to Clay Hall from WSYX. Clay.
Hey, Coach, would it be going too far to say Maryland's the best team you will have played?
Yeah, I think it's week to week right now. I mean,
yeah,
I do. I mean, we played Penn State. They played hard in that game. They did some really good things in that game and good players. And then I watched the game, and Maryland really played well last week. You know, you watch, you know, what Michigan State did, and then, you know, it's kind of week to week right now. So I don't know. I know if Maryland plays the way that they did last week against Penn State against us, then it could be. But we'll see.
2 years ago, it was in the 50s. Are you sensing it's going to be a shootout? Both teams can certainly score it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll whatever it happens, you know, we got to just figure out a way to win by one more point, whether it's 6-3 or, like you said, 52-51 or whatever it is. You know, we got to find a way to win. But it is a challenge for both sides. I think both sides of the ball for Maryland are playing well, and special teams as well. So we got to do a good job. And now that we have a few games out on film, you know, we're going to have to really make sure that we're on top of, you know, schematically giving our guys an advantage, because now you're starting to get into where there's more film out there.
How dangerous is the quarterback?
Talia?
You bet.
I think he does a good job of getting the ball out of his hands. I think he has the it factor that his brother had. You know, I recruited him, and great family. He's got, you know, really good accuracy and good leadership. So, and he's playing at a high level. So we'll kind of see as we get into the game how he's playing. But he's done some really good things, and I think he's got a bright future ahead of him.
Thank you.
Yep.
And last set of questions for Coach Day will go to Tony Gerdeman from Buckeye Scoop. Tony.
Brian, I'm sure somebody on this call can correct me if I'm wrong. I think Garrett Wilson, his three consecutive 100-yard receiving games is the first time that has happened at Ohio State since David Boston in 98. So I'm wondering if that's what you envisioned the first time you saw Wilson, I believe, when he was blocking somebody into a tree back in high school.
Well, I can say this. You know, when I watched Garrett play in high school and got to know he and his family, I can tell you that my expectations for him when he got here were about what's going on right now. You know, I always felt like he was very, very talented and had a chance to be very special. You know, we kind of saw that early on with him. And the fact that he had a tie back here to Columbus was huge in the recruiting process. And it's good to see him, you know, improve. And but the thing, again, with him is he has such a high ceiling. He's so much more to work on, to get better at. And he can do that, which is, you know, got to be really encouraging for him and for his family.
And then with Legend, how realistic is it to expect him to contribute once he's ready to play?
That's, you know, who knows? Yeah, that's – there's just so many unknowns, and you know how he heals up and how he plays and how quickly can he, you know, turn to practice to the game and take the meeting room to the field and all those type of things. It's just so hard to say because there's just so many unknowns, especially, you know, this type of year. It's just, you don't know, but you'd like to get those guys as many reps as possible.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Coach. Appreciate your time today.
All right. Thanks.